Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord, bless His word. Realize that we have nothing without Him. Need His help and inspiration upon His word, upon our hearts. I'd like to begin in the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 21st chapter, and I'd like to look at a couple different instances here in Revelation. Revelation 21, beginning in the first verse, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The thought that I have is about being prepared. Scripture here says in John's vision that he saw the city of God, the holy city, speaking of those that have been born again, those who are by the blood of Jesus members of the church of God. Then he saw them as a bride. Well, some of us came here this last week from wedding, Anthony and Sabrina. See the happy occasion that it is. It's not just a haphazard affair. It's not just, shouldn't be, just an afterthought and something that's just hatched up spontaneously. But there was much preparation that went into that. There was much advanced planning and forethought and prayer and consideration. And many times the bride, for years in advance, is thinking about that day. Long before she even knows perhaps who will be taking her hand on that day. She's making preparations by a desire, I believe, that God has given for that companionship. Preparation for that day. Maybe buying items that'll be necessary for the home. Putting that away in a safe place. Prepared for that day. There's much preparation that goes on in the days leading up to it and in the day of the wedding, because this is the special occasion they've thought and prepared for and planned for so long. Well, this vision is of the church of God. Again, as I believe most of us would understand, that the church of God, it consists of not just those who come within these walls or would say that I want to be a member, sign me up. But the church of God, by the very nature of what the church of God is, consists of every individual who is washed in the blood of Jesus. There's a preparation that takes place. This bride appeared as one who was prepared for that day. And folks, the Lord is returning one day for a prepared people. We remember where Jesus said, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord is preparing a place for us. And He's coming for a people who are likewise prepared for Him. Preparation. Well, I want to look while we're here at the 19th chapter. 19 and verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready." That preparation doesn't mean it's something that's spontaneous, that it's something that just happens. But there is an intentional forethought and preparation that goes into it before that day. And we're going to have to be prepared to meet the Lord. before that day ever comes, we're going to give some thought to this. The world is so widely just disregarding the preparation of their soul. People today are preparing for many other things. They're preparing for Halloween. They're preparing for the next big sporting event. They're preparing themselves to be able to be positioned for the next big promotion. They're preparing themselves for retirement. And it's good to prepare ourselves in life for things like that. Indeed, the scripture even teaches that we are to lay up in store, and that we are to, scripture says, to go to the ant, thou sluggard. The ant prepares, the scripture says, though it's the ant is not mighty, yet the ant prepares meat for herself in the summer. Before the time of famine or the time of food shortage ever comes, the ant is making preparation for that time. So the instruction to us is go and consider the ant. If it's important for the ant to make preparation for the winter that's coming, how much more important is it for us to make preparation for the time that's coming? We don't know what all is coming before that day. We know that day is coming when the Lord will return for His own. And it will be of paramount importance for us to be prepared for His return. It's important for us to be prepared for the days between now and then as well. Preparation. Preparation is key. As I mentioned, if it's a school test, you know it's not a good strategy to employ. Students, take note. You know who you are. It's not a good strategy to just say, well, I hope I'll do okay. Well, here goes. Let's see how it goes. You know, success, I don't remember the exact saying or who it was that said it now, so bear with me. There was someone that said it. It seems like the harder I work, the more luck I find myself having. Well, the inference there is that what people might say, well, they've had a lot of good luck, isn't as much about just a good turn of events always happening to somebody, but it's more about the fact that they worked hard, that they prepared themselves for it. Well, there are some who are far smarter than I am that may be able to go into an exam time and it just comes easier to them. But for the most part, success has something to do with the effort that we're willing to put into a thing, with the extent to which we're willing and able to prepare ourselves for that event. In the case of test, it means some effort. It means preparing ourselves through some study, reading over the material, asking ourselves the questions, and trying to think what I might need to understand for that day. Whenever our president is scheduled to go visit a place, you know there's preparation that happens many times months in advance, where the Secret Service is going in and they're scouting out and looking and examining where there could be potential risk or hiding places or vulnerabilities. They're going in far in advance. They're not just taking it by a wing and a prayer, as I said. They're not just taking it haphazardly. They realize the importance of preparation for something like that. Preparation is key in battle. To be prepared for the day of battle. The scripture says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength indeed is small. So it's important for us to be prepared. before the battle comes. It's important for us to be strong before temptation arrives. It's important for us to have our resolve prepared before that testing time ever comes. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Exodus. I fear that today far too many people are treating their soul casually. Far too many people are just going on the hope and the assumption that everything's going to be okay. And it can be okay. As I said earlier in the service, we can know that we're saved. We can know that everything is well between us and the Lord. But that's not going to just happen on its own. It's not going to just happen on good intentions or wishes. Far too many people are going through life preparing for retirement and preparing for all these temporal matters and giving very little thought to what they need to do to prepare their soul, to prepare for the coming of the Lord, to prepare for what's coming in life. You know, we need not to be blindsided by that day that's coming. Many people will be crying in that day for the rocks and the mountains and the hills to cover them from the face of the Lord because of the fear and the dread and the terror that it'll bring upon him. There are going to be many people in that day who are horrified to find out, I wasn't ready. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in your name? And yet find out with horror, the Lord says unto them, I never knew you. You know that need not be the case. The Lord wants us to be prepared. Let's look here in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. Realize a little bit about this God with whom we have to do. God that we're dealing with. Exodus 19, this is part of the story of the children of Israel after the Lord had led them up out of the land of Egypt, or come into the wilderness of Sinai. Moses came. Well, you read in the, just give a little context, you read in the early part of this chapter, the Lord expressing his desire to be to these people their God, and for them to be his people, to have a covenant between them throughout their lives. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe forever. Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch not the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Although this is a God who desires to be our best friend, who desires to have a one-on-one relationship with every one of us, he is not a God to be trifled with. He is not a God. The scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We need to realize that this is an austere or an august God. The august majesty of the universe. That is not for us to just trifle with in our lives by living casually, by living haphazardly. there's a preparation that has to happen. And notice here he said, the Lord said, I want to come and appear unto you and speak unto the children of Israel. But he told them, get ready. And he gave them a space of time to prepare themselves. You know, I believe the Lord gives us a space of time to prepare ourselves. You know, even in the temptations of life, I believe the Lord gives us a space of time to prepare ourselves. The Lord is a faithful and a just God. And He gives us a time to prepare ourselves for the test that is coming. Now we can pass up that time and fail to prepare ourselves for battle. And we won't be ready whenever the battle comes. Samson failed to heed the warnings over and over again. When he should have been preparing himself, he failed. And whenever the test finally came, he fell before it. Too many people find themselves in a place where they're failing the Lord, where they're falling victim to sin over and over again. And the Lord is giving them an opportunity to prepare themselves for the battle, for the temptation. He gave them the instruction here. In a space of time, make yourself ready. There was something that the children of Israel had to do. They weren't to just come. And we tell people in our services, come as you are. Now there's a place of respect for the things of God. But I remember someone asked one time, had never been out to service before and were interested in coming out, and they said, I don't have any fancy clothes to wear. Can I still come to service? Folks, it's not about the fanciness of the clothes that we wear. It's not about that outward presentation and getting ready. But there is a preparation of the heart that has to take place. The children of Israel here were told, you need to go and you need to wash your clothes. Wash your garments. Well, we understand that they were in a time that they weren't under grace. So they were still subject to the penalty of sin and living under that curse. But yeah, the Lord told them in an outward manifestation, go and get ready for my appearance. You can't just appear before me any old way. You can't just live any way that you want and expect to appear before me and be okay. Such is the same today. Folks, we can't expect to just live any old way and come before the Lord and our prayers be answered. And come before the Lord and His favor and approval be upon our lives. There is a preparation that has to take place. And they were told to go and wash their clothes and their garments and to be ready for that day. Whenever even the priests and the high priests would go into the holy place and the holiest place, there was a preparation that had to happen. You didn't just run straightway into the holiest place. There was a preparation that had to take place by that blood, by the cleansing laver. And there is a plan and a way for us to be prepared for the appearing of the Lord. For us to be prepared to appear before God. You can read in the book of Esther about King Ahasuerus called for his wife Vashti to come and appear before him at the banquet. She refused. So they sent a decree throughout the land lest other women should get the same idea of being able to rebel against their husbands. They called for all the virgins of the land to come and present themselves before the king. And he looked upon them. There was a preparation that took place, as was the case in such Oriental or Eastern kingdoms. There was a preparation that they went through before they ever appeared before the king. Well, I'm thankful that things aren't so formal between husbands and wives. But you didn't just go in your bathrobe before the king. Esther realized, even told her uncle whenever her time came to appear before the king, and fast forward, jumping ahead in the story, said that if I go and he hadn't called me and I don't find favor before the king, it means my life. I don't do this lightly. I don't just run casually before the king and say, hey, what's up? Here I am. People handle God so casually today, as if they have a, what's up, relationship with God. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But he's not to be handled so casually and cavalier. There was a preparation that these women went through. You can read about in the second chapter of Esther, of myrrh and of all kinds of different perfumes and ointments and all those things that they prepared themselves, not just that morning that they were going to see the king, but for weeks and months in advance. They were preparing themselves for that moment. Well, I could look on that and say, well, who does the king think he is? You know, there's one far greater than any earthly king that we're going to be called before to stand in front of. And it is in our best interest to be prepared to stand before him, to go through the preparation that the Lord has made possible for us through his word, that we might be able to stand before him and hear him say, well done. I found pleasure in you. Preparation. I'd like to consider a little bit about preparation for the Christian. The book of Ephesians talks about the armor of God, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'd like for us to look at 1 Peter, the third chapter. First Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know, the Lord wants us to be a people that are prepared. The Lord wants us to live for more than just ourselves, but to be able to be a blessing and a help to those that are around us. There is a preparation that happens. We can't really be a help to anyone else when we ourselves aren't connected to the vine. Whenever we ourselves aren't in the place with the Lord that we need to be, I may have a head knowledge, I may have good inspirational words that I can share, but to really be able to touch and reach somebody in the place that they have their greatest need, it's going to take the Lord working through me. It's going to take being prepared, having a heart that's prepared. One place it says, "If any man shall purge himself from these," speaking about false prophets and false influences and things like that, "if any man separate and purge himself from these, then he shall be a vessel meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." There is a place for us as the people of God that we've got to be prepared. We've got to be living in a place of preparation before the Lord. That I can't expect to be able to help someone else whenever I myself am in the same place that they're in a state of sin and defilement. To be prepared, we've got to be holy before God. We've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've got to be walking in cleanness before the Lord, separating ourselves from those things that would defile and pollute and corrupt. If any man do this, he shall be a vessel that is meet for the master's use and prepared, ready unto every good work, ready to be able to answer every man of the hope that lies within. The Lord has a way of preparing us if we're willing to be prepared. The Lord has a way of preparing us for the things that are coming in our life before we even know what those things are. Some of the things that the Lord allows us to go through are in part, well, in large part for our good, and in part for us to be able to help those that are around us as well. I believe the Lord wants to prepare us. So what are we doing to be prepared? As the bride prepared herself for that day, as we read, the scripture talks about in 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now I want us to get a picture here this morning. A bride who is expectant of this day of meeting her bridegroom and is eager and is preparing. Well, the world prepares themselves through a whole regimen of cosmetics. Sometimes spending hours getting ready, they believe, to appear even in public. Well, the scripture talks about unto the woman whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning. The putting on or the wearing of gold and of jewelry and the plaiting of hair or the adornment and decoration of the outward person. But let it be the adorning of the inward man, the hidden man of the heart. You know, that is a preparation that the Lord wants above any of the rest. And in fact, there it says, don't let it be that outward adorning. Don't let it be the wearing of gold and of pearls and of costly array and all of that. Don't let it be. You know, if you don't have the outward and you don't have the inward, there's not much attractive. But I'm going to tell you, if you prepare yourself, as the Lord is able, the scripture says that the Lord beautifies the meek with salvation. Folks, the Lord wants us to prepare ourselves. And He wants us, first of all, take a bath, get cleaned up. He takes us as street urchins or as beggars who are sitting in our filth. And He takes you, well, you can't come before the King like that. Let's clean you up here. Folks, He washes us by the cleansing of water, by the Word. He cleanses the spots of sin by the only way possible, by the blood of the Lamb. The Scripture talks about those who have been through great tribulation, who are arrayed in fine white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, the Lord has robes of righteousness for us. He wants to take us in that old spotted condition, as sin always spots the soul and stains it with guilt and regret and with shame. The Lord wants to clean us up from that, where there's no smell of smoke on us anymore. There's no spots of sin and of corruption and pollution on us anymore. He wants to clean us up. You know, that's just the start. The Lord then wants us to start adding some adornment. The Lord wants us to start adding to our most basic faith some decoration of the Spirit. Some adornment of the inward man. Add to your faith virtue. And now let's apply some knowledge. And let's put on some temperance. These things the world may look on and say, eh, not of much value. But the Lord God, before whom we're going to stand, looks on it and says, that's beautiful. That's of great value. So if we're looking at how I prepare myself, here's some things here we can do to prepare ourselves. Adding to our faith. Allowing the Lord to beautify us. To make us ready for that day. There's a scripture that gives a, I don't know, call it a chilling warning, found in the book of Amos. Amos, the fourth chapter. Amos, one of the minor prophets, as many of the prophets were, calling to Israel and appealing to Israel who had backslidden, gone away from God, that they return unto the Lord. Amos here gave a warning, a word from God in the fourth chapter. Begin in the 11th verse. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Folks, I believe the Lord's message to us today. And in this day and time, when people are saying peace and safety, oh, don't worry about it, we're okay, we've got the answers, we've got it figured out here. The Lord's tarrying His coming, as the scripture talks about in Peter. Whenever people start to say, where is the promise of His coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, things have continued as they always have. Then take heed. Let that day not come upon you unawares. He said here, prepare to meet your God. Folks, it is for us, even as the church of God, prepare to meet our God. Prepare to make sure that we're ready to stand before Him. To make sure that we're ready for the times that are coming on the face of this earth. Prepare to meet thy God. Think about so much of what Jesus taught through the parables that He gave. Let's look in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, as an example. So much of what Jesus gave was to prepare us, that we be a people who are prepared. Luke 12. Beginning in the 35th verse, it says, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that ye may, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. The only way that you can open immediately is if you're ready, if you're prepared and you've been waiting. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. This know, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Blessed, 43rd verse, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." The Lord is giving a picture of the time when he himself will return. And he's saying, be ready. Be prepared. The time of preparation is not on the day that he returns. The day of preparation is today for us to be ready. The servant that prepared not himself was without excuse. He was beaten. He received, in other words, the just reward of his deeds. He knew what the Lord told him to do. He knew that the Lord said, I'm going to return again. And you be ready, and here's what you're charged with, and here's how you're supposed to be whenever I return. He knew that, and yet he prepared not himself. Procrastination is an enemy of time. Procrastination will be the downfall of many, many souls who say, I'll get ready. I'll be ready whenever that time comes. Whenever I die, I believe out in the future, I'll be ready then. But statistically, the chances are we'll go out to meet God in the state we're in right now. So folks, what have you done to prepare? Let me ask you this way. Are you ready? Are you prepared for that day? The servant knew, and he didn't make preparation. He thought he had more time. He didn't know when the Lord was coming. And in such an hour as he thought not, he came back. We're told similar parables of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise had made preparation. The foolish had made none. They had the hope of being ready. They had the identity of being virgins, but they hadn't made the preparation. And you know, we can know these things. We can grow up in church. We can be raised around the saints all of our lives. And it's not really about how much we know. It's about what we're doing with it. It's about whether we're preparing ourselves for that day. We can be, if we're not very diligent, as the 5 foolish virgins. They all slumbered and slept, but the foolish had not made preparation to have enough on hand. Do you have enough on hand today? In other words, do you have some extra? Do you have some abundance, or are we living our lives on the bare minimum, just running on fumes spiritually? Folks, that's not enough. We've got to make preparation for the days that are coming. Lay up in store for ourselves treasure for that day. There was a parable also of a man that had a wedding feast, invited many people to attend, and whenever they came to the feast, he handed out wedding garments. Well, he no doubt, as he went out and beat the bushes, so to speak, to invite guests, there were those who were not ready for such an event. They didn't have wedding garments and clothes that were appropriate for the occasion. You know, none of us that are born into this world are appropriate for the occasion. None of us being born into sin, all are sinners. When we come into this world, we're not found in the glory of God. And any of us who go out of this world a sinner will not be prepared to meet God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you'll die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. But there's preparation that we can make, that we don't have to go out of here a sinner. We don't have to go out in our sins. But we can be clothed in a wedding garment that's pure and white and spotless. It is the righteousness of the saints. This man came in his own garments. Many people today are coming in their own garments. Isaiah, I believe the 4th chapter, it talks about in that day, 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, saying, we will wear our own apparel, but let us be called by your name. Folks, our own righteousness is not enough. Our own good works is not sufficient. Our own clothes, so to, in other words, it's not going to cut it. The Lord's prepared for us garments of righteousness. So we need, as the scripture says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be found in him, Paul said, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but being found in his righteousness, being clothed in his righteousness, is the only thing that will cause any of us to be accepted in that day. Well, he handed out the wedding garments, and there was a man there at the feast as the wedding got underway that he didn't have his wedding garment on. And he said, friend, how cometh you hither without your wedding garment? That man was cast out of the wedding and out into outer darkness. So is the state of every soul that is not clothed in God's righteousness. We won't be prepared. And Jesus said that that man, whenever the master asked him, how did you come in without your wedding garment? He said that he was speechless. He had nothing to say. He had no excuse. Folks, the Lord has made every available item that we need to be prepared. He's made it available to us. We'll have no excuse in that day to not be prepared. He'll give us the knowledge and the understanding that we need, that he's going to judge us by. He'll give us that understanding. He'll give us that knowledge. He'll make it available unto us. It's attainable. It's not out of reach of any one of us. So Lord, help us to be prepared, to be ready for that day. Are you ready? What have you done to prepare? You pray for me. Amen.